scripts readily. Now these square boxes then are what I'm using to indicate the orbitals. So here we have got the 5D orbitals, our XY, XZ, YZ, Z squared, X squared minus Y squared. And notice they're all at exactly the same energy. The 4S orbital is this box over here. The symbol for an electron then, we've got an arrow pointing up, that's indicating an electron with an up spin. We've got an arrow pointing down, that's an electron with a down spin. Now, in this case, the scandium then, we have got one unpaired electron sitting in one of the 5D orbitals. Down here, for manganese, we have got 5 unpaired electrons sitting in the orbital. So when we're filling up the 3D orbitals in this case, we put one electron into each empty box until we have completely filled those 5 boxes with one electron, and at that point we start putting 2 electrons into the box. Now, this is an important thing. We'll come back to it when we look at molecular orbital theory, the rationale behind this, but that's why we're going 1, 2 rather than putting 2 electrons into that one box. We generate energetically a much more stable atom when we populate the 3D orbitals in that fashion. Now, as we go down then, we are increasing the number of unpaired electrons, and it's the number of unpaired electrons that gives paramagnetic character to the metal. Now, the difference between a paramagnetic and a diamagnetic compound is that a diamagnetic compound, if you put it in the, between the poles of an electromagnet, there'll be no attraction between the diamagnetic sample and the poles of the magnet. Over here, if we've got a paramagnetic sample with unpaired electrons, you turn on the electromagnet, wham, that sample goes into the electromagnet and you're able to measure the deflection. So this is a classic experiment that you do in second or third year in organic chemistry to make a paramagnetic complex and then verify that it's paramagnetic by carrying out a magnetic measurement.